Do you see it wrong to plan ahead? I mean, you've got some plans, don't you? I mean, you probably planned already what you're going to do for lunch. And that will transpire and take place just as soon, probably, as this service is over. Some of you have some plans for this week. You've already got plans, don't you? Maybe you've got plans for your life. James chapter 4, 13 through 17 is about planning your life inside the will of God. That's what this section of Scripture is about. Let's read it. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and get gain or make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. As you look on the screen this morning, I want you to know the truism of this statement. And I want you to look at it for just a moment and just dwell on that and think about your life. And I want you to know today that you were not an accident, nor were you an afterthought. But God has you wanting to do His will. And so I suggest to us this morning that every life in this room is a plan and a purpose of God. I love what the psalmist said many years ago in 33:11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart are open to all generations. The plans of God for your life started with Adam and Eve, the mother of all living. And from that point to this point, the nearly 14 billion people who have lived, God has had a plan for every one of those lives. It's working within God's plan to produce His will in your life. Now, James is going to share with us three things today about the will of God. Number one, that it is possible that today, as we go about our life, that we are ignoring His will. As you look at James 4, 13 and 14, he talks about various activities that we go about in our life. And really, let's be honest about it. Life is complex. And in our lives, we are going here, we're going there, and we're going everywhere in our individual lives. That's what's going on. Even as I speak today, this inclusive of our lives. And James talks about that. James also says that life is uncertain. He says your life is like a vapor. The fog rolls in late at night. By morning, the powerful sun burns the fog away. Our lives compare to that fog, that mist, that puff of smoke that we see dissipating up into the air. Hey, our life's uncertain. The proverb writer said this, 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 24-hour period of time. Well, we think we do because we're planning ahead. But if you're planning ahead by ignoring the will of God, it's very dangerous. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 12, when Jesus told the parable of the rich fool, He said in verse 20 to this man, watch this, this night. Wait a minute, I've tore down my barn and I've built bigger barns to store all my goods. This night, your number's up. Your soul is going to be required. What's going to happen then to all of those things that are in that barn? Life is so uncertain. Life is brief. I know you have your Bibles. Go back to the book of Job. And let's look at four or five verses here where Job just talks about how quick life is passing. Job 7 verse 6. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Verse 9. As the cloud disappears and vanishes away, so he who goes down to the grave does not come up. Chapter 8 verse 9. For we were born yesterday and know nothing, because our days on earth are a shadow. Chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They pass by like swift ships, like an eagle swooping on its prey. And chapter 14, more well known than any, maybe the other two verses in the book of Job. Man that is born of woman, which includes everybody in the room. Man that is born of woman, what does he say? Is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. James' message to us is that our life is complex. Our life is extremely uncertain. It is brief, and make no mistake about it, life is fragile. And if you don't believe that life is fragile, walk the corridors of the medical center, Greenview, St. Thomas in Nashville, the seventh best hospital in the United States, Barnes Hospital in St. Louis, Missouri. And you'll see how fragile life is. The proverb writer said this, the lot is cast into the lap, but its very decision is from the Lord. The question for us in the first third of our lesson is this, are we living our lives in God's will, or are we ignoring His will? Number two, James talks about disobeying His will. Disobeying His will. He says, you know what? You're gonna say you're gonna go into this city and you're gonna do this and you're gonna do that. He says, hey, there isn't any expectation of doing any of that. And he says, as a matter of fact, your boasting is arrogant. Your boasting is out of control. And there is a way, in a sense, in which we disobey the will of God for our life. I don't know if you remember what was said at the end of 2 Peter. When he got to the end of 2 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 21, Peter said these words, you know, it would have been better never to have known the Lord's will than to have known it and lived in disobedience to it. I want you to think about that for a minute. To me, that is scary. Because he says it's better that you would never have known God, never had known Jesus, never had known the Holy Spirit, never had known your copy of the Scriptures, never had known of the charts, than to have known what you know and live in disobedience to it. In Luke chapter 12, there was a discussion by Jesus about the very subject of punishment. And will there be different degrees of it? Let's let Jesus answer the question. Luke 12, 47 and 48. That servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Watch 48. But he who did not know, yet committing the things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him will he ask the more. Did you notice how he used the will in Luke 12, 47, 48? Is it possible then That we can so disobey the will of God that we lose a reward that we one time had? Paul seemed to think that that was a very real possibility. Those who had received salvation, those who were in the good graces of God, those who had known the Lord. Paul says, listen, I don't want to end up being a castaway even though I have preached to others. I don't want to lose my reward. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27, by disobeying the will of God, by not doing what God would have me to do. Well, that leads us to the third of the message. And the third of the message is a little bit of good news. And that is, what happens when I obey His will? And I want you to see in three places in the book of John where Jesus said His purpose, His mission, His will was to do what God wanted Him to do. John 4:34, He said, my meat is to do His will. John 5 and verse 30, Jesus said, of my own self I can do nothing, for I came to do the will of God. In John 6 and verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Let me tell you the difference in John 6 and verse 38 between Jesus and the society and the culture that we live in. The culture that we live in says, I'd rather do my will. I'd rather do my will. I'd rather do what I want. And incidentally, when I come to church, I want everything fastened around what I like and what I prefer and what sounds good to my ears. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of the Father who sent me. There's something special about living in God's will by doing what God has asked us to do. I want you to watch this. Everything in the universe works according to laws. I don't think anybody in the room will disagree with that. Everything in our universe works according to laws. Now watch these next two things. Very important. Number one, when you obey those laws in the universe, everything is hunky-dory. Everything is okay. Everything is good. But watch this. When you disobey, the universe is now stacked against us. Now, if you don't remember anything else in this message, this next line I want you to remember. Every commandment that you read in the Bible, it is put there for our safety and our benefit. Now, I'm going to say that one more time and let you say amen, all right? Every commandment and every command in the Bible is for our safety and benefit. Amen? Amen? See, we have to understand that. It's not that God doesn't want us to enjoy life. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to be happy. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to be prosperous. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to be healthy. It doesn't mean any of those things. But what it does mean is when we stay within God's will, we have some parameters there that will protect us and will keep us from the evil one. That's why those parameters are there. All right, here we go. Let's make some application. What does all that mean? I want to give you four processes that I believe will help us to obey God's will, live within the confines of God's will. And here they are. Number one, we got to know what the will is. We got to know His will. I love teaching the book of Acts. Acts 22 and verse 14, I want read in your hearing this morning. And here is what it says. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know His will and see the Just One and hear the voice of His mouth. You see, God wants us to know His will. In order for me to know the will, I've got to do some study. I've got to drink from the pages of the Holy Spirit who speaks to me and talks to me through these 66 books and volumes and 1,189 chapters. Here's the process that will help. Know God's will for my life. But not only do I need to know it, I need to come to grips with it and understand it as it is unveiled in front of me. Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, says Ephesians 5:17. And incidentally, in the previous verse to that, verse 15, he says you need to walk carefully because time is quickly passing away. So you need to redeem the time because the days are evil. Understanding the will of God. So the process is I know, I understand, number three, and then I prove His will. Romans 12 and verse 2. One of the most well-known verses in the Bible. We talk a lot about the first part of the verse, but we miss sometimes the second part of the verse. Here's what Romans 12:2 says. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Watch this, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We have to prove His will. Every single day that we live in a pagan world, in an ungodly culture, in an ungodly society, in an unrighteous world, we've got to prove what that perfect will of God is. And then the fourth one, I think you can figure this out. The fourth one is, we've got to do His will. We've got to do His will. In a context that was talking about relationships. Husband, wife, parent, children, employee, employer, servant, master. It's interesting to me that in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6, Paul said that we need to do the will of God from the heart. He didn't say do it from the head. The head's earlier when you begin to know, understand, but when you begin to prove, you've got to do it from the heart. You've got to do the will of God. Not as men pleasers or do the will of God. Do it. The proof comes in doing the will of God. Three things from James chapter 4, 13 through 17. Are we ignoring His will? Number two, are we disobeying His will? Or number three, are we obeying His will? Remember what we said at the very beginning? Every life is a plan of God. Don't ignore God's plan for your life. Don't disobey God's plan for your life. But as you do His will, then I want to show you the benefits. You got your seatbelt on? Here it comes. All right. Here are the benefits of doing the will of God. The benefits, they're out of this world. Amen. And that is a literal statement. Grab your songbook. God bless you for listening like you have and turning the pages, taking notes, drinking this in. I'm telling you, nothing today is more important than am I living my life according to the will of God. And the truth of the matter is, you're the only person that's going to have to answer for that at the great white throne judgment. You're the only one. We're not going to answer as a church. No, as individuals. And so I'm doing everything within my power to get you to ask yourself the overall question, am I doing it His way? Not man's way, but His way. And as we sing the song, I can't think of a better song to sing. Trust, obey. No other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Will you trust Him? Will you obey Him while we stand and sing?